This is God is in This, the podcast ministry of Bethany First Church, United Church of Christ in Bethany, Connecticut. For more than 270 years, our congregation has gathered in covenant to worship, grow, and serve, grounded in faith and open to the Spirit's movement in our time. As an open and affirming church, we believe every person is created in the image of God and fully welcomed here. Across every race, gender identity, sexual orientation, age, ability, and background. Each episode features a Sunday sermon from our pastor, the Reverend Jonathan Paradis, or from a guest preacher. A message rooted in Scripture, shaped by justice and alive to the questions of today. Whether you're walking the dog, commuting to work, folding laundry, or simply pausing for a breath, we're grateful you've chosen to spend this time with us. Here at Bethany First Church, we believe God shows up, not only in the sanctuary, but in the struggle, in the doubt, in the joy, and in the everyday. So wherever you are, and however you are listening, welcome. This is God is in This.
God is Scripture. Speak to us through the words that give life, through the story that challenges our perspective, but bring your peace and comfort even when we don't understand and we are seeking answers. Amen. Last week we were in 1 Kings. We spoke about people, prophets, and kings that lived in a world where obedience and disobedience to God seemed to carry clear consequences. The basic equation seems to be as such. So if you follow God's laws, then you are blessed. If you turn away, then you will face judgment. This was the rhythm of Israel's history, and it made sense, especially as the stories that we were told and retold for them particularly in their time of exile, which we'll cover in the final part of our series in the fall. But up to this point, our stories have followed this nice chronological timeline, starting in the beginning and through Israel's recorded history. But then comes today's story, the story of Job, that does not fit neatly into Israel's story. Job's story is not set in Israel at all. He is not defined by a tribe or a nation. He does not align with the covenants of the Old Testament. He does not fit in with the stories of the patriarchs or the kings. And scholars place Job within the wisdom tradition because it lacks the historical context. And it doesn't share the same structure as the rest of the Bible. Job may not have even been an actual historical figure. It's somewhere along the lines of a poetic story, like a fable or a parable, with a moral lesson woven in, which textually fits alongside the books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, which are written like poetry, like a drama, something along the lines of Elizabethan theater, like Shakespeare, or the works of Jane Austen or Charles Dickens. And unfortunately, we do not know the author. We don't know when it was written. We only know that it was a story told and gathered into the Bible at some point. Scholars believe it was shaped during or after the time of the exile. Like our Old Testament's timeline, we see that the people of God, although suffering, had their own country and king. Job and the exiles have none of that. They were taken from their land, their temple, and their way of life and worship by force. And it became a season for them when Israel asked new questions of faith, questions that the book of Job gives a voice to. The writer describes Job as blameless, an upright man who loved God and turns away from evil. Yet, in this heavenly scene, where all the angels gather before God, Satan goes before God, which is another question, not for today, and challenges Job's integrity, suggesting that his faithfulness is because of the result of God's blessings. This kind of exposes the insidiousness of the prosperity gospel, which insists that being tangibly blessed is always the reward, the unquestioning of faith, and that suffering must be because you lack faith or because there is sin. And the book of Job rejects that logic. Job is faithful, yet he suffers. He clings to God even while questioning. And his story reminds us that God's love is not transactional. Remember that God's love knows no bounds. It is presence in the mystery. So with God's permission, Job's wealth, Job's children, and health are taken away. Job refuses to curse God, but cries out in anguish, lamenting in his suffering. His friends insist that he must have sinned, but Job maintains his innocence. He demands an audience with God. After a long dialogue of questions, of accusations, and lament, God finally speaks out from a whirlwind, not giving explanations, not giving the answer, but pointing to the vastness and mystery of creation. Job acknowledges his limits before God's greatness. In the end, God restores Job's fortune, but with a deeper lesson that remains unanswered. Suffering is not always punishment. Faith can hold both trust and questions together at the same time, and God's presence is greater than human understanding, which is a wonderful story of complex truths on its own. And one of the tenets of our church is that we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and that Word is still alive, still active, still speaking. It is through these complicated stories in Scripture that God still speaks to us today. So for us, for the biblical audience, here in Job's story, we have the question, what is the purpose of this book? What is the purpose of Job's story? And this is where the insights from those who study Scripture from a distance, apart from faith communities, can be very helpful. These scholars that hide behind their books, they wrestle with these questions that are raised in exile, which Job himself asked, if we are faithful, why are we suffering? If God is just, why do innocent perish? If God is present, why are we silent? Our theme this summer has spoken into these questions. God being in all places, God being in all things, God being in all situations of our lives. And the scripture in Job today is a way of insisting that we cannot reduce God to a formula. As biblical scholar John Collin writes, the responsible use of the Bible must begin by acknowledging that these books were not written with our modern situation in mind, and are informed by the assumptions of an ancient culture remote from our own. Even so, that distance invites us to deeper questions that we share in suffering, injustice, and the presence of God, questions that still echo in our day to day. Much of the Old Testament tells us, follow the law and you will be blessed. Break the law and you will be cursed. And Job disrupts that because he's blameless, he's upright, he's faithful, and yet he suffers so many losses. His family, his wealth, his health, his reputation. His friends are clinging to this old formula and accuse him. Surely you sinned. Surely you did something that you deserve this. But Job refuses to accept their reasoning. He protests his innocence. He insists on an audience with God. Job's story reveals what many of us know in our bones. Sometimes suffering comes even when we have done nothing wrong. And life does not always add up. Formulas of neat cause and effect terms. Because there is a tension in Job. There's a tension to Job's faith, to the way Job's life is. And this is the part that's most striking. Job does not deny God. He does not abandon his faith, but neither does he suppress his questions. Job holds his pain and his faith together and cries out and demands answers. He protests the silence, and yet all the while, he's still speaking to God. The tension of Job's story is not between belief and unbelief, but between trust and honesty, between reverence and lament, between being faithful and being human. And it's in that tension that God meets him. In the question, God is there, and God responds. God finally speaks in chapter 38. The book is only 42 chapters. But it's not to explain or to answer, but to expand. God takes Job on a journey through creation, the depths of the sea, the storehouses of snow, the birth of mountain goats, the path of the constellations. It is as if God is saying, Job, you see only one piece, but I hold the whole thing. God does not shun Job's questions. God does not condemn his honesty, but instead God honors his integrity. That never stopped directing his words to God. Like many of us at some point in our lives, his questions became his prayer. His lament became his dialogue. And this is the message for us. Even though we may not be exiles in Babylon, but we live in a world that still raises Job's questions. Why is there violence in our schools and churches? Why is there betrayal in our courts and communities? Why is there illness, grief? Why is there loss that touches our families? And like Job, we may never find a real answer, even though we would feel better if we did. The book of Job tells us this: God is not absent in the mystery. God is not threatened by our question. God welcomes our honesty because we were created with minds to wonder and hearts that ache. Faith is not about answering all the questions or having all the answers. Faith is about refusing to let go of God, even when all we have is questions. So when we pray, don't hide your questions. I know for some Catholics in here, that probably that's a big release and may make you feel uncomfortable. I promise, it's okay to ask. It's okay to come before God and bring them honestly to God. When you walk with someone in suffering, don't rush to explain anything. Just sit with them. As Job's friends first did before they began to speak, be presence, not answers. When you face mystery, trust that silence doesn't mean absence. God is still here. I close with this. Think of this. Imagine you're standing at the edge of the ocean at night. You can't see the depth. You can't grasp the vastness. You cannot control the power, yet you know it's real. You feel the spray on your face, the waves at your feet, the pull of the tide. And so it is with God. We do not need to master the mystery in order to be held by it. From Kings to Job, Scripture takes us from history to wisdom, from formula to mystery. God shows us that being faithful doesn't mean suppressing our questions. It means bringing them to God again and again, over and over, trusting in God, knowing that God is still there. Because silence is not absent. Questions are not rejection. God is in the mystery, present, steadfast, and faithful. May it be so.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany First Church. If you're nearby, we'd love to welcome you in person. Worship is every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. right here at 511 Amity Road in Bethany, Connecticut. To learn more about our ministries, upcoming events, or ways to support our mission, visit bethanyfirstchurch.org or follow us on social media at Bethany First Church. We're so glad you joined us, and we hope something in this message stays with you. Until next time, may you walk with courage, live with compassion, and always remember, God is in this.